John Tamayede with us today. Have you been a good little New Zealander in the past week, John? Te nākwe.
Oh, geez, in the eye of the beholder, Dale.
Fair enough. It feels like an eradication campaign. We're talking about MAPAS. Can we touch on this for a moment? Because you and I know the importance of having Māori Pacifica faces in consultation rooms and in every aspect of our medical workforce. But here's a successful kaupapa. I spoke earlier in the program with Colin Tukuitonga about it, John. Your thoughts, because it's just another example of trying to minimise our opportunities as a people and to have us all become cookie-cutter Kiwis.
Colin was a GP out here in the West and as a long-time advocate and proponent for Pacifica Health. So, you know, big mihi to him. And one of the most accredited and qualified people next to any Pākehā in terms of qualifications. So when he does speak with significant practice as well as academic, as well as governance authority. So I just wanted to acknowledge Colin Tukuitonga in that regard. Look, if you have a look at what this regime has done, it's cleaned out everything in regard to Māori or Pacifica rights relevant to equity on the march towards equality. And so it doesn't matter whatever it is, they have decoloured it. So it's like a white supremacist brush that they've taken to everything. So they've depopulated any governance board that has any Māori or Pacific Island persuasion or kōrero on it, advancing a Māori or Pacific Island view across the whole of government. So if you have a look at the Waitangi Tribunal, depopulated it and then repopulated it with right-wing Neanderthals. So it doesn't matter where you look across this last 3 years. They've done the Trump gig. He's cleaned out any generals that are not Trumpists. He's cleaned out any judges on the Supreme Court that are not Trumpists. And so this present regime runs the same copybook as the Trumps. The people that have made all the money over the last 3 years in this nation are the wealthy top 5% of the population. The bottom 75% always socialise the debt to go and pay the rich person's profits. And so if you use what Colin was advocating as a proxy to see exactly how you denude and take away years, and see, it's taken us years incrementally to get to a place where at least we could have some advocacy on equity and equality, and these guys just come and wipe it out, but across the whole system. That's why this regime just must go. And I just wanted to echo Tuku's kōrero at the Koroneihana, where he was absolute in terms that's normally not stated in such an overt manner by either Ngāi Tahu or Waikato Tainu, given the fact that they have a special treaty settlement with escalation clauses. And they normally aren't that overt, as Tuki was, as overt as saying, we've got to get rid of them.
Yeah, interesting, wasn't it? And at the Koroneihana, Ngāwai Honui Te Pō delivered what's considered a pretty significant message about unity, leadership and the future direction. What was your reading of her kōrero, and what influence do you think the Kingitanga and the Ariki Nui will have on our country's political landscape in the years ahead, bearing in mind Tuku's contribution as well here? Where does the Kingitanga sit in not just Māori politics, but influence on national?
Oh, Kingitanga is influential, there's no doubt about that. It's a significant movement that when we were in our darkest moments, there were only three movements that shone a light. There was Kingitanga, there was the Te Hiahu supremacy, and there was Ratana, and the vestiges of Ringatu. So, you know, when you're looking at affirmative Māori responses in a Māori context. You can't beat the beacon of light that, particularly over the Te Puia years, when it was very difficult. But anyway, going back to Queenie's speech, she's early days in her reign, okay? Her great-grandfather, Koroki, he ascended the throne as a 23-year-old. She's 26, going on 27 when she ascended. He reigned for 33 years. His daughter reigned, Tatarangi Kahu reigned, and then her father, Tu Heitia. So it takes time for the an early stage royal leader of the movement to actually start to bake in their own personality and their own conduct in their own ways. And so it's early days for me to be able to read exactly what's the carry here, and where it's going to actually land. And it does take some time. It doesn't happen overnight with a new queen. So all the messaging, everything else about her rings right. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying it's going to be interesting to see how it carries over time.
Tēnā koe. Thank you. John Tamariri with us today. John, obviously, we are, as a people, I know I'm generalising, frustrated at the lack of recognition that successive governments have had to Waitangi Tribunal findings. Te Pāti Māori is proposing to make those findings legally binding on the Crown and strengthen the role of the Tribunal. What would that mean in practical terms for our everyday lives? And how realistic is the potential to embed those findings and to no longer be able to just ignore them?
It's a time and motion. So Matiki, my the visionaries that put that in place, and the main scribe of it, Moana Jackson, he opined out to 2040, which is the Matiki Mai, which is the 200th anniversary of the signing of the Treaty of Waitangi. Now, if we can't get the treaty as supreme law, as the foundation stone of our parliament and of everything that's legislated there, and therefore everything that is legislated there has to pass the mana and the honouring of Articles 1, 2 and 3 of the treaty, where we retain unto ourselves exclusive rangatiratanga to our land, our estates, our taumwana, our taonga, all of that was reserved unto ourselves when we consented to share this place with colonising settlers. So that has never occurred. So what we've got to do is have an unadulterated, unapologetic Māori voice that stands up and says, no, this is what was bargained for and promised. You came here, broke it all, and now we're telling you we're going to fix it. So to fix it requires, firstly, the implementation of the Commissioner of Waitangi, Treaty of Waitangi Matters. That commissioner sits above Parliament, is a reporting agency to Parliament on the conduct of the Parliament. So every piece of legislation, either past, present, or future, must be vetted. Just the same as the Attorney General has a vet, just the same as the Environmental Commissioner has a vet. The difference between their vets is they're not binding. And that's where we will be heading, no doubt about it. Because the law in this nation is founded on the conduct and the agreement within the Treaty of Waitangi. Simple as that.
We're holding up. I mean, there's only a few days of sitting for Parliament, and then we're fully into campaign mode. I noticed it carrying the only billboard on our fence as I drove into work today too. The other fence has not got any pictures on it. You might like to do something about that, John. So, mate, look, I know Te Pāti
Give
Māori.
Give me your address. Give me your address, Dale, and I'll be around there. I'll have all the news up there in about an hour. Okay?
Good on you. 31 Calthorpe. Your old mate will be pleased to see it on his gate. But anyway, John, you know, we're really into it now. And never before has there been such an important election. People talking up new parties, i.e. Opportunities Party, Te Pāti Māori, to say, hey, listen, we'll be holding the balance of power. New Zealand First does the same. And so, you know, we're just getting all of this barrage of information and ideas. I spoke with Marlima earlier in the program too, talking about taking apart the grocery duopoly. Whether that's achievable, I don't know. But what would you say to those of us on Civvy Street, mate? Are you just sort of like getting this barrage of political ideas, almost like a wish list or dreams? Some of them are never going to become reality, but they're coming at us thick and fast. And what do we need to factor in? Because some cope up a ticker, but some obviously aren't. And more disruptive policies rather than anything concrete that we can believe in and build on. What advice would you give to voters at this period when everyone's promising the world?
Well, this is the first election in the history of Te Pāti Māori it has the opportunity to undoubtedly be the kingmaker in the mix. There's no doubt about that. That's why New Zealand First hates our guts. Okay, Opportunities is not a threat to Te Pāti Māori. Opportunity Party takes votes off the Greens, off Labour, and Soft National. So I just want to put Opportunities to one side because that's their opportunism coming through, and good on them. But I'll put them to one side because they don't debase our voter strength. So that's why we've just gone directly after the candidate vote. Now, if you want to go fishing somewhere else, so be it. But give your candidate vote to Te Pāti Māori MPs in the 7 seats. When the dust settles on the 7th of November, we'll be in the mix around the top table, choosing who the Prime Minister is for the first time ever in the history of the Māori electorates. For the first time, they will play an instrumental role in choosing the Prime Minister. That's the power of the Māori vote, and that's why we spent huge amounts of resources lifting the Māori roll call, using Tamaiti as the face of it. And that's why it has been so outstandingly successful in loading another 50,000 Māori electors on the Māori roll. And it also cleaned our roll, those that weren't therefore, an unadulterated, authentic Māori voice have shifted onto the general role, and good on them for getting off the Māori role. And so we've had this cleansing on one part of it and this huge appreciation on the other side of it. And so we're now worth 8 seats. We're now worth 8 seats. Well, this government changed the rules. We can't even have a look at 8 seats until 2032, according to the rule changes they brought in, as you know. We'll be changing that too, as soon as we're in. All the stupid rules go.
Tēnā koe, John. Appreciate our kōrero on Monday mornings, man. And no more important time
them. I'm not going to charge you for any of this.
Okay, fair enough. And I won't be sending you an invoice either. thanks to Lingami. Tēnā koe. John Tamaere on Monday mornings here on Irirangi.